Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You found Atomic Android Radio.
Hello and welcome to In Universe, where we talk the ins and outs of all our favorite fictional universes. My name's Andrew.
I'm Adam.
And today we're talking about Godzilla versus King Kong. Versus King Kong. Those three things.
We'll be talking one of them, the other one, and when they fight. Also, spoilers for the movie that just came out.
Anyways, let's start with the big old G-Man himself. The
God. Zilla! I get it now.
It's kind of like he's a god, but also a lizard.
Now, I know you watched a bunch of them pretty recently, the Toho films.
Right? I didn't watch a bunch of them recently. I was gonna watch a bunch of them recently.
I've been misled.
But I've been I never said that. Don't call me a fucking liar to the people. But I've been watching a bunch of stuff about Godzilla recently.
I've never been huge on the Toho films. Like, they're good for what they are, but I can never just, like, sit down and watch them.
Oh, yeah, no. That's why I haven't watched them. I haven't had anybody around to watch them with. Because if you're just sitting in your room watching those movies alone, you're probably not going to have a good time.
I don't know. You could, but it's probably a bit harder.
Honestly, sounds a bit sad to do
well,
that.
No, let's not say that. It could be very fun for some.
No, yeah, look, they're good movies, they're fun movies, they have cool ideas.
Yes. Now, they are held back by being in a time period where they couldn't really do a lot of those cool ideas.
They are very dated.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure if you're a Godzilla head or a Kong fanatic, they hold up pretty well, but as a person who likes both of these characters but isn't like a huge fan, they hold up fine, I guess. Now, we should probably get this out of the way pretty early. Pick a favorite.
Okay, my favorite, I am a huge fan of Rodan. I've always been, he's always been a one
he's
after
cool.
My heart.
In,
I like it.
In King of Monsters, he looks a bit like a duck.
Oh yeah, no, I think his design in King of Monsters fucking rules. Duck and all. But I like original Rodan with the big man feet because they needed to fit man feet in the costume.
That does rule.
I enjoy that a good bit. I do like a good bit of them. Fucking Ghidorah is always a good one.
Yeah,
he's
King
fucking,
Ghidorah does rule.
He's fucking pretty cool. I do love Space Godzilla and Mecha Godzilla heaps.
You gotta pick one.
If I was gonna pick one, I would pick... I'm picking this just because I'm gonna be the unique little flower I am. I pick Zilla.
Oh, from
not from the what was it, 1999?
Yeah, Godzilla, Matthew Broderick.
But the one from Godzilla Final Wars.
Oh.
That the Japanese Godzilla just fucking killed in like one blast.
Not the one from the tie-in TV show to the 1999.
That show actually ruled. I actually liked that show heaps as a kid. I did not like the movie as a kid. I thought it was a very boring movie. I watched that show a good bit.
Look, that's just fair. I mean, you were a child and probably had shitty opinions, but like...
Look, maybe... I'm thinking about it now. I'm like, maybe I want to watch that show and see if it holds up.
Oh, look.
There was that one, and then there was like a King Kong one I watched a good deal as a kid, where I think one guy had a telepathic link with King Kong.
Oh.
And then he was like, Kong, come save me and do my fights for me.
Look, that makes sense. You get a little bit of that in this movie.
Yeah, you do, but it's not telepathic link. It's...
Maybe
sign language link?
Yeah,
which, look, it's, if you're going for realistic, I guess.
That's as realistic as you're going to get. I do a bit dislike, because the idea that primates can learn sign language is a bit of a myth. Like, there's the talk of Coco, but there's a lot of evidence that suggests that she didn't actually know sign language. She just did hand motions and got treats for it. She was like, well, if I do this, I'll get things for it.
Yeah, but also... This Kong is more intelligence level of a man than an ape.
I'm just saying, I don't necessarily appreciate perpetuating that myth.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, if you're going to be mad at any movie for doing that, it would be Rampage, which is basically just King Kong.
Kind of basically this movie, because he fights a big alligator,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he does fight a big alligator. Remember in that bit when the alligator had wings?
Yeah,
and they're
like,
oh,
flies?
Shit, the alligator flies.
Wait, no, is that the alligator or is that the wolf?
I think the wolf flies. That's worse for some reason.
I don't know. It's more like a bat.
Yeah.
Very few lizards fly.
Well, no, but like there's like, with like lizards, you're like, yeah, I know a pterodactyl. I understand dinosaurs.
Yeah, but like, it's supposed to be.
But like, wolves don't, dogs don't fly.
But bats
okay,
do.
Yes, but this isn't a bat, it's a dog.
But yes, but if you're taking, if you can understand a reptile flying because of
No, but you're looking at big dinosaur monster. That's like an alligator or big wolf monster.
Like, they're based on what they are.
They are.
So, like, the only
Plus, the alligator, its flatness seems pretty keen for, like, the gliding bits.
Yeah, I could see that. But, like, the only living reptile that, like, glides or anything is what, like, the Draco, I think is what it's called. It's, like, South American, and it's like a tiny reptile that basically flies like a flying squirrel. Like, it leaps off of trees and is like, woo, I can fly. It's pretty cool. But bats just exist. There are a bunch of species
no,
of bats.
But it's not a...
But I can understand a mammal flying. That's less out of the ordinary than a reptile flying.
Yeah, but... Yeah, okay. I was...
Let's be real. Both of these are ridiculous. And either could have happened because the movie's ridiculous.
It's the body shape of the wolf for me. It's the fact that the wolf has, like, the legs that go downwards. So how it's got a stretch...
Well, in that movie, it doesn't have the legs that go downwards. It's got more of, like, an ape-like arm span kind of thing.
Yeah, okay. I haven't seen that movie in ages, and I think I've only seen it once.
Look, it's not great.
But anyways, we're not here to talk about fucking Rampage. We're here to talk about Godzilla and King Kong.
Yeah.
I was like, we're here to talk about the Godzilla animated series for a hot
you
second.
You wish. I mean, we can.
It was pretty good.
Look, I've never seen it. I'll just have to take your word on this.
It was much better than the movie. At least trust me when I tell you
that's
that.
That's not a very high
bar. But for a kids' animated TV show, it was pretty sweet. Like, So, you know how in the movie he had a bunch of babies?
Yeah.
Well, one of those babies, like, survived, and it imprinted on this just average... I think it was the guy from the movie.
It was Matthew Broderick.
But it was nothing like him. It was a guy with the same name, basically. And then so he had his own, like, little Godzilla he could... Oh. Well, it was big now. But he was basically, hey, go fuck up that crab monster. And that crab monster's like, what, you want to come at me, bitch?
I don't know crab monsters in these movies. Yeah, no. I'll say it. Like, you get a few of them, just in passing, in Godzilla vs. King Kong. When they go into the Hollow Earth, they, like, little crab guys pop out of the ground, and they're like, hey, I'm a little crab.
That's one thing I do like about this legendary Monster vs. Godzilla deal. They got a lot of, like, really cool monster designs.
Yeah, they like, got,
I really like the one in Skull Island of that, like, spider with the bamboo leg type deal.
It's like, and then, like a spider assassin bug kind
of combo. Yeah, it shoots, like, little tongue things out and drags people up. And then it's got crab claws underneath.
Yeah, that just kind of chop them up and feed it to them.
Yeah, and then I do like, because it did have, like, bamboo legs. Their legs weren't all that strong, so like all the,
they just sliced them off with machetes
and stuff. That was pretty cool. I also like the...
I like the big stick bug that he was sitting on.
Yeah, that big stick bug looks pretty sweet. The... What's it called?
There's the big squid that he eats.
A buffalo. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, the water buffalo.
Yeah, the water buffalo thing's pretty
sweet. I think it's weird that they have sort of a bit of overlap in those, because, like, in King of Monsters, you see the, I think they call it the behemoth.
The behemoth, yeah.
Which is the big, not quite an elephant, that has massive tusks.
Yeah,
like,
it's more like a mammoth type deal.
Well, yeah, but it's also not quite. It's like a big ground sloth mixed with a mammoth.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool. I mean, I think the idea of having, like, a big ground sloth is rad, because that's sort of, like, a very small scale kaiju. I did like that they kind of connected them. Like they, like we had talked about while we were there at the movie and just afterwards, they like to tie in actual mythologies when they can. And I forget the name of it now, but there is like a South American cryptid that is pretty similar to the behemoth.
It's like a big ass bison. Yeah, it's like a big deal.
No, not like a, more like the ground sloth mammoth kind of deal.
Oh, okay.
And I forget what it is called, but I know they gave it that name. Like, as like, sometimes it's called this. And I think that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
I like the idea of like using cryptid names to name these guys, because otherwise they get kind of generic names. Like, there's the Leviathan. And then there's...
One was the behemoth.
Yes.
I feel bad for, in the first one, the Mutos.
Yes.
Because they just kind of really got stuck names with that name. Because all of them were, what is it?
Mutated...
Unidentified terrestrial organism.
Organism, yeah. And then immediately when they say that line, they're like, and this one's no longer terrestrial because it's the male Muto who can fly. So immediately that name's out the window.
But that's still the one they call
the Mutos. It's still always, like, it seemed like Muto was going to be what they called all Titans. But they're not. That's just one type.
Yeah.
Who are pretty small. Like, I know in King of Monsters they have the Queen Muto, who sort of just shows up in that last bit where they're all gathering over to bow in front of Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
She looks almost identical to the original, but it's a bit bigger, and it's got weird, like, head spikes, which I think they literally said, like, in press stuff, was to symbolize a crown, that it's the queen. I don't know, I like, because the Mutos are not based on anything from the Toho.
That was when they were like, oh, let's do our own thing, and then once it got popular, all the Godzilla fans were like, oh, where's this monster,
which I like both.
Yeah.
I do like the Mutos as, because they're closer to an actual organism than any of the Toho era guys are. Everybody else seems almost a lot more supernatural, whereas the Mutos are very much like, oh no, these are just big creatures. Like,
they're not
malicious. They're trying to find each other and mate for the propagation of their species, which, I mean, makes sense. And because I recently watched the 2014 Godzilla, there's a scene where they kill, like, basically all of the Muto's babies that she was gonna hatch. And you see genuine, like, sadness on her face.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Which makes it
pretty sympathetic for them. Like, wow.
Yeah, no, I think they got a really... I like how those ones specifically are, like, they feel more bug-like than the other ones.
Which I like.
Yeah, it... There's something about a big bug that's more believable to me than, like, a big animal.
Which is weird, because bugs are specifically one of the few creatures that are the size they are because the Earth is not designed to have them that big. Like, if there was more oxygen in our atmosphere, we would get big bugs.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they breathe is specifically not allowed to get big. Which is funny that, like, but, like, what is it? Them? The big ants?
Mm-hmm.
From the B-movie from, like, the 50s? That's more believable than, like, a giant ape.
I think it's just something about... It's because how alien they look,
they
I think
already
it is.
Look alien, and you can kind of just say, like, well, yeah, they got a weird biology. I get it. I do think I remember reading that in press stuff, they also said... It might have been in tie-in comics or something. I remember reading somewhere that they said that the Mutos, the closest thing that they are to of an actual organism is a mammal. Which is just crazy to me. Like, they don't have birth. They lay eggs.
Can you milk a Muto?
Well, that's what I'm...
That's gross.
Yeah. I do like the idea, the more into that they're just, like, organisms, that the male and the female have sexual dimorphism, where males are, like, small and winged, but the females are massive, which is pretty realistic. You get that a lot in insect species. Like spiders, that's not even all that uncommon, where the females are just massive, where the males are like, I'm real little. And I like that because you could see them both fight. They both provided a different threat to Godzilla without it being like, oh, two different things.
Yeah, they're both a similar creature who kind of, like, you could see how they are the same thing, but they kind of also did their own thing and fought their own way and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty cool. Like, there was a lot of swooping from, like,
The male Muto, who I think has a name, I think it's Hoke Muto, because he was found in Hokkaido, Japan. And then the female Muto is Fem Muto, because it's female.
Yeah, okay.
But the male Muto couldn't really damage Godzilla on his own. He kind of just went over and distracted him heaps, while the female Muto attacked him eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But the female Muto could not stand a straight-on, one-on-one fight with him, so they kind of needed to do a sort of on-off thing.
It was a whole tag team.
Yeah, which is cool.
I really liked that fight at the end of that. Watching that, like, I knew...
Most of the movie was pretty boring, I'll be honest.
It was
mostly...
It would have been much better if they kept Bryan Cranston around, for one.
Look, that's just sort of a rule with almost anything. Anything Bryan Cranston's in, the more of him that's in it, the better.
Mm-hmm. But,
what was Aaron Taylor Johnson is the...
Oh, yeah. Most of that movie is pretty boring, and I do understand why people were, like... weren't happy with it when it came out, because I think it's only, like, Godzilla is only in, like, 14 minutes of it. But I absolutely love that last
battle. The 14 minutes that he is in it is pretty cool.
And, like, that one kind of bugged me a bit, because it really seemed like it was setting up for something cool. They were at Hawaii?
Yes.
Yeah, and he's on the airport, and you see him stomp down, and that explosion lights up Godzilla's leg and everything, and then you pan up and see him. That was such a cool
shot. That movie
is
probably the one that does the best with scale. Like, all of the other ones are good at it, they're fine, but, like, it's easy to just kind of think of them as big.
Yeah.
Whereas in the first one, it's very clear, wow, they are massive.
Yeah.
You get a lot of people running around for scale.
I think this one actually did pretty good at it, because I had that thought while we were watching it. Like, man, these really do feel big. Like, you have, like, people run across the screen as, like, there's, like, a Bigfoot or something. Or there's the one where it shows the office building from the inside when Mechagodzilla and Godzilla fight. Mechagodzilla's in this movie, by the way.
If you're listening to this,
yes,
you've probably seen the film already. Otherwise, we said we were going to spoil.
Or you just don't care.
Or you just don't care. And if that's the case, don't come to us if you don't care. But Mechagodzilla is in it. And while we're on Mechagodzilla, I thought it was cool that he was in it. A little goofy.
I was so excited to see Mechagodzilla.
I do not like his design very much.
I really liked his design. I like
parts of it a lot.
I liked his hands a lot. I liked his face a good bit.
His hands were like arcade claw hands.
Yeah, I kind of like that. Like, especially when you see him grab around things. I thought it was like a cool shape to grab things on.
I thought it was like... It looked goofy in motion. It looked like somebody got a toy.
Yeah, and was moving it around. That's fair. I could see that. I liked, because I had that thought while watching it. I liked seeing how his hands interacted with the stuff he was grabbing. And like, you get that one shot where he's going to do the same thing Godzilla did to the Muto. Yeah, where he's got his hands wrapped around Godzilla. And I thought, right then was when I was like, oh, I really like the hand design, was because how it was wrapped around his head.
I thought that was really cool. I didn't like his hand design very much because it looked like a toy. Mm-hmm. It looked a lot like, you could see the articulation in it. Like, his hands were very much like, you could almost see the screws in them as they moved. And I was like, well, that looks weird.
One thing I did really like in the design was the spine design.
That's one of my biggest things. I loved the spine
because design. It looks like they're like built for utility. It didn't look like they were trying to mimic the Godzilla spines.
It didn't look like they were trying to mimic the Godzilla spines, and it didn't look like they were just for show. It looked like they served a purpose, which I think is cool.
And then, I liked the panels in the back that shifted open.
Yeah,
and he would blast himself around.
I loved that he kind of moved around like Bakugo from My Hero Academia. He did that heaps.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty
cool. Which is
cool.
He also fought a lot like a guy, which I thought was weird, especially because, again, spoiler, but again, you already don't care. It wasn't the guy piloting him.
Yeah,
it was King Ghidorah, one of King Ghidorah's heads. Was piloting
it. I kind of got the impression that it was like a bit like a Vision deal where it's multiple things coming together to create its own thing.
Oh, okay.
Because they did talk about how they programmed it and everything and how it is the brain of a King Ghidorah. And maybe a bit of that guy got in there. And so that's like, oh, that's how I fight like a dude.
That one guy had a lot of, like, he showed up a lot in the movie and seemed like he was going to be much more important, especially when you see that he's the pilot of Mechagodzilla. And he kind of
I thought, because he's got those bands around his face, so it's hard to see it. So I thought it was the other guy, what's his name? Irozawa?
Yeah, from the first movie.
Well, not the first. I guess he'd be related because that was his name in the first two movies, right?
His first name, his name was Surazawa, I think. And then I think this guy had a similar sounding name, if not the same name. I didn't catch it that well.
Yeah, like maybe they're related deal.
But I feel like if they were, it would have been a bigger deal.
Yeah, no.
He kind of just shows up a bit and then is like, we shouldn't do this. And then does it anyway and then like dies.
Yeah, I actually thought that was him in the thing. But then like you get a pretty good shot of his face with like the eyes rolled back. I'm like, oh, that's just some other random dude.
And then when he gets into it, the lightning, like, you see him basically get electric chaired.
Yeah.
And then I assume dies.
I guess he just died. But maybe a bit of his brain got uploaded to Mechagodzilla.
And it's like, I fight like a Street Fighter. Like, not like the video game Street Fighter, although a bit like that. Like, just a regular guy fighting. Like, he did a lot of, like, swinging a haymaker or a couple of jumping off a building to do a punch.
No, there was this game for, like, the PS2 and Xbox. I think it might have been Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a Godzilla fighting game. And man, would I love one for, like, the new legendary ones like that. There was a game that came out a couple years ago called Godzilla. I think it was, like, in 2014-ish.
Probably to try to tie in with the movie.
And I never heard anything about this game, like, no marketing for it. I was at the store, and I just stumbled upon it. I'm like, I am buying this, like, right now. And I got it, and I took it home, and it was so boring.
Yeah.
Godzilla, they really wanted to make Godzilla feel big in it, so what they did was make him slow.
Yeah.
And it's so boring. And all you did was, like, go around and, like, blow up, like, I think it was, like, nuclear facilities and shit. And it was that was the most disappointed I've ever been with, like, because it felt like such a magical moment. Yeah, like, I'm like, I found this thing. You never heard of it, and
there it
yeah,
is.
And I was like legit sad. The next day I took it back and I'm like, I can't play this.
I do. I think it's weird that these movies have almost completely gotten rid of Godzilla as a metaphor for the atomic bomb.
Oh, yeah. I think it hasn't been that for a while.
Well, yes, but
in these movies at all.
In these movies, he is very much almost, like, to the point of, like, Superman.
Almost. Oh, yeah. He's a superhero.
Unabashedly a superhero. Yeah. Whose only goal is to help humanity.
Which, that's what Godzilla's been
eventually,
for a while.
Yes, he does become that.
But, yeah, in the first couple of movies, yes, it was a metaphor of this giant monster that just came in and, like, mindless destruction and everything. And especially with him being atomic and everything.
I don't know. I just think it's weird that, like, he is just unequivocally the best guy in these movies.
Yeah.
He never destroys anything that wasn't, like, evacuated, if he can help it. He only attacks, like, bad things. Like, the only time it seems like he's not is when he's attacking the Apex place at the beginning of this. And even that, if you're, like, paying attention at all, it's like, oh, so this is, like, an evil corporation?
Yeah. I will say, as a Godzilla fan, I'm totally okay with that because I want to be rooting for Godzilla. It kind of, like, in the first one, that was the one that was most like, oh, he is kind of just, because he was destroying that city, like, no problem and everything. It was just, I do like it being, his job is to, like, his instinctually get rid of these, like, titan threats.
Yeah, because in the first one, that's the deal. The Mutos are specifically parasites of titans. And I don't know if this is explicitly that, but they hint at it quite a bit. Explicitly parasites of whatever species Godzilla is. Because the beginning of that movie is they go to the Philippines, where they've accidentally, like, broken open this, like, cavern that has the full-on skeleton of a Godzilla species.
Which I'm really surprised they never use that for Mechagodzilla.
In Mechagodzilla, he is built with a skeleton of Godzilla originally.
Yes, I think that's Mechagodzilla 2. One of them is just an alien robot.
I think that one might come after the first one. But
I think the alien robot's the first one. I could be wrong, but that seems the most right to me.
That's fair. But yeah, I remember at least for one of the Mechagodzillas, they use Godzilla's skeleton to make it. And I assumed that's what they were going to do this time. One, because that's cool, like, world building.
Yeah.
Because they already kind of do that stuff with...
And it would be cool, that's in the first one, and then in the fourth one they tie that back.
Yeah. And it makes it, I mean, obviously none of this is plausible or realistic or at all really even reasonable. But it would take a step towards maybe a bit more plausibility if it's like, oh, they didn't need to just build giant metal structure for this.
That's fair.
They used, like, a skeleton as, like, a starting point to build around. And be like, that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I
think they should have gone farther with Mechagodzilla having pieces of other titans in it.
That would have been cool. Yeah. Like, I was really hoping his atomic breath was going to be Ghidorah's, like, yellow lightning.
Which, I do believe they said it was gravitational lasers. Which is just a fun, cool way of saying lightning, I guess.
Yeah.
Because, like, they didn't do anything gravity-wise.
Yeah.
And they didn't act like lasers. So
it acted like the same atomic breath that Godzilla had. Yeah.
Which I think it just, because they also say that, like, Godzilla is like atomic fire. So I think a way of doing atomic fire is gravitational lightning. That way they're just not like, he's generating a whole lot of electricity.
One thing that would have been cool if they did use Ghidorah's lightning and everything. They do the I'm very surprised they did it, and I was so excited.
I remember I turned to you in the theater and was like,
That they gave King Kong the electricity power up that he got in the first King Kong versus Godzilla.
I would have been so happy. I mean, it would have been so goofy, but it would have been so funny.
I would have liked that if it did shoot the Ghidorah lightning, if they're like, oh no, Godzilla's dying, we need a restart his heart like they did in the movie, and then like Mechagodzilla's fighting Godzilla and he misses a shot and it just hits King Kong in the chest and that powers him back up.
I think that would have been, maybe not that specifically, but based on that, I think using King Ghidorah, because they're already using him or like Rodan or something as an energy source for Mechagodzilla, would have been better than weird, unexplained blue rock.
It wasn't even, like, the blue rock, like, was the energy source.
Yeah,
they copied the blue rock's energy source and then just made that energy out of nowhere, I guess?
Yeah, they didn't explain this super well, but from what I gather is they already had the ability to make a whole lot of
energy.
Yeah,
they just needed kind of the code to do it.
Yeah, they needed the specific type of energy that the Titans are fueled by, which I don't understand why. Like, it would have made even more sense if they took, like, a chunk of that stuff to power them. Even that would have made more sense than just, like, all right, well, we've got the energy signature down. We can just pump him full of it.
But, yeah, no, it would have been cool if they focused on more like, they could have done the old Godzilla skeleton.
Which I think would have been cool. The Godzilla's called, I think they say it in tie-in comics, by Monarch as Adam, because he's the first one they found. Or Dagon, which is what the Phoenician people called him when they saw him.
But they could have done its skeleton, the brain of Ghidorah, and then, like, whatever the energy source is. Well, yeah, that's kind of the only intact brain they had lying around, too. And then maybe something from the Mutos? Maybe the... Because they did absorb... Those were really good at absorbing radiation,
And they could make EMPs, which could have been cool. And then they had a few others. They had, like, the Skull Crawlers. That was already... The Apex already owned them. They already had them. They just didn't really do anything with them except test
Mechagodzilla. I think it was just supposed to... I think it was just thrown in to be like, oh, look, it's...
That thing Kong fought, and it was hard for him. Look at Mechagodzilla take it out effortlessly.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
But I don't know. I think they could have done a lot more with actually making him built out of the parts from the other monsters.
Yeah, no,
but
I
think for that, they also would have had to have more monsters die and or be in a fight.
Yeah, but they could have, because they can't do, they're not going to make as many, even near as many movies as, like, Toho
Marvel level successful, and they probably still won't make as many as Toho.
So, like, you could go through and pick a couple of the monsters from there, and maybe just put. I know people are going to be disappointed because that's kind of like, yeah, we're not doing that monster, but at least it would have been involved somehow.
Yeah, and even if they would be disappointed, you could definitely do a thing where they do it. Where it's like, no, that was just one of that species. The actual character you like is still alive.
That's true, too. Because
they could easily do that, like the Godzilla Dagon, or like we were saying on the car ride home, I don't remember how to pronounce it, Aqueous?
I like a lot of the monsters. I'm just so bad with names, especially, especially just not like... normal American names.
Yeah, like I know Dave, but I...
I could pick out any Dave. I think it's a KS. I want to say a GS, but...
I know it's
probably...
like AQU.
Yes.
Maybe another U.
It's the spiky turtle.
Yes. I like... Because, like, that was a fan favorite, because he's basically Godzilla's best friend.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't use him. They didn't have the rights to him. So in King of Monsters, when they go underwater to that, like, civilization... You see a skeleton that looks a whole heck of a lot like him down there.
And they could have gotten that, too.
It implies that that monster also knew Godzilla, which I think is cool. But I don't know. You could have done some more stuff with
that. Although that's kind of messed up, sleeping next to the corpse of your friend.
Yeah, she got to. There's a fluctuating scale of how intelligent these creatures are. Yeah, sometimes they're just animals, sometimes they're people.
Yeah.
The only one who doesn't fluctuate is King Kong. He's just kind of a guy.
Yeah, he's just kind especially of a man.
Especially in this one that you can see he understands sign language, like, super well. I don't know, it's just weird.
Yeah.
That he's kind of just a guy.
I get it. That's kind of what Kong had going for him, what's his intelligence and speed.
It's really weird how much this movie is a bit like Batman v Superman. The only difference is Kong actually stood more of a fight.
Oh, yeah, no, that's fair. That's all these versus movies. But like, I'm actually surprised in this movie that there was a winner. Yeah. Because
usually they avoid that kind of
thing. Two out of three rounds, Godzilla won.
He was just the...
And the second round kind of just wasn't over or anything.
Yeah, there was kind of only two rounds.
Godzilla it was only three early. Because one guy was like, oh, round two goes to Kong. Yeah. So all the King Kong fans are all like, oh, he just got trounced the whole way. Yeah. Which, like, it's a atomic blitz.
Who really
cares? If King Kong didn't have the magic axe, he would have been out way earlier. Yeah.
Now, that's what I was getting at. Like, Batman had a kryptonite spear. Yeah. Kong's got a magic axe.
Nah, that's fair.
I just think it's funny how similar they really are. They're
pretty similar. But one thing I was going to touch on earlier was we're talking about them doing the different monsters. I would love just other monsters movies, like how they had Mothra movies
and
everything. But one I would really be into is a Rodan movie, because the Rodan in King of Monsters is so cool.
I think he's cool.
It's
I don't
such
know.
A...
He just doesn't seem to have much going on
for him. He is kind of just a big bird, but he's got kind of the lava deal, but him... Just flying over things and just tearing things apart.
That was genuinely one of the cooler scenes in that movie, where Rodan is just flying over that like city, and it just the wind from his wings are just destroying it. That gives you a really good sense of scale.
Mm-hmm. All of these movies, the monster bits in the movies, just rule.
Yeah, I mean...
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Some of them are still goofy, but like yeah, it comes into territory.
If you were trying to play this whole straight leg,
it wouldn't work.
It would not work.
No. Godzilla did his judo flip.
Oh yeah, that was so fucking cool. What was Gigan? I think his name's Gigan or whatever. It's the monster in Godzilla that they made basically to bully his son. And my top favorite move is the Godzilla dropkick.
Oh yeah, where he jumps up on his tail and just sort of moves through the air.
Will beat the Godzilla dropkick. But a close second is the Godzilla judo flip when he grabs that guy and flips him on his ass.
He does that to
fucking King Kong, and that rules so much.
It was so funny.
It's so fucking good. It rules so much.
Like, a lot of this movie is very easily just turn your brain off, have fun, and it is fun.
Yeah, no, that's one thing about these movies, is all the monster fights are so fun, and just the monsters being around is so cool, but the human bits are so boring.
This movie does a decent job. If I had to pick, and it's not Bryan Cranston, this movie does the best.
I would say Kong. I liked Kong human bits a lot more.
I liked Kong human bits because of how extreme they are. They're all very much caricatures of the kind of character they are. And they all die really funnily and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But like, as far as having the humans be there, they serve a purpose. Because even in Kong Skull Island, they didn't really serve a purpose much.
Mm-hmm. They were kind of just like, oh, like Samuel L. Jackson was like, oh, I gotta kill Kong. Yes. But all the soldiers in that, I really like the soldiers a good bit.
They had personality.
What's his name? Stepbrother?
John C. Reilly.
John C. Reilly, I really enjoyed. I thought he was really good comedy relief in this movie.
It's a really fine line between comedy relief and annoying.
Yeah.
And he rides that line so well.
Which I think in this one, what was his name?
The guy everybody
hates. The guy with the podcast.
Reason? Oh, that guy?
I thought he was way more on the annoying side of that line. He fell into
the annoying side a little bit.
He wasn't too bad, but he definitely was more on that side. But other than in Kong, Brie Larson and Tom Hiddleston, which Tom Hiddleston was kind of the boring, I'm good at everything guy.
He was pretty boring.
And then Brie Larson was kind of just the chick.
Yeah, she didn't do much.
She took pictures.
Nobody really did much besides Samuel Jackson in that movie, to be fair.
Although, I did really like John Goodman in that movie.
Yes, oh my. Like, he didn't do much, and he dies pretty early on. But man, does he
He's around for a while. He dies about halfway through.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, he doesn't make it. He's not there for heaps. He's not a main character, really.
Yeah, and but
John Goodman never sucks. That is a rule I follow. I can't think of a single thing John Goodman's in where he is bad at.
Look, I can't think of anything like, to prove me wrong.
Just kind of rules.
Yeah, no, but I do like in that movie they do the whole, because he's doing the whole conspiracy theorist is right deal. But usually they have that kind of person as the hero.
Yeah.
And that was not him in this. He lied to everybody about being why they're there. He held things back.
And he wasn't just a crackpot. He did work for Monarch.
He was just kind of the guy with the crazy ideas back
then. But he wasn't like a conspiracy theorist.
And I like that his motivation, I don't think it's flat out said, but it's really implied that his motivation is from Godzilla, because he's a survivor of he was on a ship.
Yeah.
And then I think it was when they were trying to kill Godzilla with the atomic testing, quote unquote.
They said it was testing, but they were trying to drop bombs on it.
Yeah, it's either those were two separate things.
Wait.
Or those were the.
So did the atomic bombs just not do anything? Because Godzilla in the Monsterverse already had atomic breath. He didn't get that from the bomb. And he was already radioactive, because they make it very clear that the Hollow Earth is radioactive.
They just didn't do anything to him. The only weapon we had, well, I guess now Mechagodzilla, the only weapon we had that was effective on him was the oxygen destroyer.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't... Because
he still needs to breathe.
Yeah, and it wasn't just because all the other nuclear weapons just amped him up. Like, the after the oxygen destroyer, how they save him is by nuking him.
Yeah, which is weird how radiation, which I guess gets more into the he's no longer a metaphor for the atomic bomb.
Yeah.
But radiation is really not involved in these films.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's in the first one, because that's what the Mutos are after. But Godzilla doesn't care about them. He's only near them because the Mutos are. And then they bring him back to life with a nuke.
Yeah, the second one, radiation's a bigger deal because that's how they bring him back to life. And then that's how, like, it amps him up and he gets, like, the super mode.
He gets burning Godzilla.
Yeah.
Which looks cool.
Yeah, no, that was so, I was so excited for that.
Like, I don't know, radiation, which, look, he was like this in the Toho films too, and then it's been like this in comics for ages. Radiation is kind of just magic.
Oh, yeah, no, like, it is. Like, it gives you a Hulk, it gives you, like,
a Spider-Man.
And, yeah, it's...
In this one, they use it almost genuinely like magic, because they say that each of the Titans, especially the Protector-class Titans, in their wake, they leave a special kind of radiation.
Yeah, they say that in King of Monsters.
Yeah, that stimulates plant life growth,
mm-hmm.
which turns, I think it's, what is it, Scylla? The big spider crab one, is that Scylla?
Yeah.
That one helps reverse the melting of the polar ice caps, and then several of them turn Nevada, like the Mutos turn Nevada, and where, I forget where else they were, into rainforests, and they turn, when they all sort of come across the world, I do believe it said that they turn the Sahara Desert into a rainforest, mm-hmm. which...
That's what... One thing about this is they have a lot of really cool, like, small detail world building, but they never show
that's
it.
That's exactly what I was getting at.
Yeah.
You'd think the idea that the Sahara Desert is now a rainforest would have come up at all.
Yeah, no.
They could have easily had it been that, oh, where is this Apex getting its money from, this company we've never heard of before? Mm-hmm. Well, they made a lot of money because they, before the Sahara Desert was a rainforest, they bought up a lot of land cheap, and now they have prime rainforest territory.
Yeah, or, they talk about how the droppings of the Titans are now used as, like, an energy source and everything. I guess that's how... That and, like, studying Titans is how they get real high tech in this, which is kind of like that. But I want to see more of just people, like, living in this world.
Show me the people who now live in the forest of Las Vegas.
Yeah, no, I think that'd be so cool. There's this show coming out, I think maybe tomorrow as we're recording.
Yeah, as of date of
recording. I think it already came out in Japan, but it's an anime called Godzilla Singular Point, which I think is a lot more of that, where it's people living in a world of these kaiju and everything, and kind of the society around it.
I think
that's really interesting.
Because, like, you get a little bit of it in this movie, because they have Titan evacuation points and stuff like that, which seem almost useless.
Yeah. No,
like, I'm not expecting Pacific Rim level of, oh, we've adapted, this is what we do. But some sort of that.
Yeah, no, that's fair. One thing...
Look at how much this is like... Sorry to interrupt you. Like Pacific Rim this is, because the plot of that is Charlie Day joins with the brain.
With the brain, and then they were using monster bits and everything. Yeah, it's very. It felt very Pacific Rim. I was going to say something about Godzilla Singular Point, but I don't remember. One thing... Separate theme from what I was gonna say. You don't get, like, a good look at it, but I kind of really like the design of Godzilla, of what they've shown in this Singular Point.
Oh, I've not seen anything of this, so...
I love how fucking... His legs are fucking massive. He's, like, dummy fucking big. His tail is, like, huge, and I fucking love it. That's one thing...
That's great for drop kicking.
Yeah, that's true too. That's one thing I'm, as a Godzilla fan, Fan might be. I really like Godzilla. But one thing is, there's been a lot of cool things coming out with Godzilla designs lately. When the 2014 came out, I really liked that one. There is an anime that came out on Netflix called Godzilla Earth.
That was like CGI.
It wasn't too good. It was pretty boring. But the Godzilla design in that, for one, it was absolutely massive. Like, that's, I think it's like something like 10 times the size of the legendary. Like, it's giant. I think has a lot of really cool world building in it too. Like, Godzilla kind of makes the world uninhabitable for people, so they leave, and because they're in space and everything, they run out of resources and they have to come back. Okay. But they're not gone for that long, but because of space and everything.
In real life, that's how you time
they've been. Yeah, they've been gone for thousands of years, so the whole world has changed kind of around Godzilla.
That's cool.
Like, the foliage and everything are kind of like it's this, kind of like this metallic substance that's real sharp and everything, and there's all these new monsters. I think it's got a lot of cool world building in it. Barely does anything with it. The Mecha Godzilla design, and that sucked ass because it was just kind of a city. Like, they had Mecha Godzilla, and then I guess they left it sitting there for a while, and then he became this like sentient city. Ghidorah's design in that kind of sucked. He was kind of just a ghost dragon. But Godzilla's design in that, it was really good. And a lot of stuff with Godzilla coming out is really cool design. One thing that I kind of didn't like its design until the very end was Shin Godzilla.
Yes, I was just thinking about Shin Godzilla. I really liked how Godzilla had an almost Doomsday-like quality.
Yeah, how he kept evolving. Cool. That was pretty cool. I liked that.
There were a lot of bits where, and like we were talking about it, goofy.
Yeah, no, that was really, like, it had big googly eyes.
Which, this has some charm to it, but it's a bit goofy.
And that Godzilla was real, that one was really thick down and had a lot of junk
really
in the trunk.
Phallic up front, though.
But, like, it was really, like, bottom heavy.
Yeah.
Like, he had tiny little arms up at top and then, like, a skinny, like, head. But the bottom was real thick.
By the end of that movie, though, he looks cool.
Yeah, no, it looked cool.
And I
really like how him shoot. I think out of the tail was a bit much. But the lasers coming out of all the spines and everything, that was pretty cool. I was
so
into
cool.
that. But, that was one of the movies that I didn't pay much attention to. When we get Winko watching, that was another surprise. Oh, there's a Godzilla thing coming out. Because we sort of just bought tickets and went go watch it. I was under the impression we were watching a dub version, but it wasn't. It was subbed. And I have, people might get mad at me for this, but I have a hard time keeping like my interest peaked in subbed.
Yeah.
I have
a hard time reading subs.
Yeah.
Because of how my brain works.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work quite well with them.
And the one thing, especially in a theater where I have to be looking at the
bottom
of the screen.
Yeah, that's a long way to go, too.
Yeah, and I'm not paying attention to what's going on. So we had a lot of fun in that movie, just kind of making up the plot for it as it was going.
Well, yeah, I mean, very few people watch Godzilla films for the plot.
Oh yeah, no. The majority of them are goofy nonsense.
Yes.
Like, it's usually like an alien race coming down to fight Godzilla, and that's one thing.
Look, I hope that's where
I'm
this
real
is
excited
going.
For. I don't need an alien race or human like to come down and everything. They already did invasive species from space with Ghidorah.
That's Ghidorah.
But give me fucking space Godzilla like this. I will, big ass crystals on his shoulders, magic powers, bigger than Godzilla. I will be so happy if they're like, it's like Godzilla, but from space. And then like some fucking snarky character's like, you mean Space Godzilla?
You mean like how in this movie...
Mecha Godzilla?
Yeah, the little kid from Deadpool.
Deadpool, Prison Pocket.
Yeah, Prison Pocket was like, Mecha Godzilla.
Mecha Godzilla.
And then the, like, evil corporation guy was also
Called it... Well, they just called it Mecha.
Yeah,
like, the
my
Mecha.
Mecha.
Yeah.
But, like, that that's weird.
It's weird that they didn't just say mech. Like, yeah. My mech or anything.
But it was Mecha.
Like, there was something after that.
Godzilla. I don't really know why. Like, I know why, out of universe, they made him look like Godzilla. Because he's Mecha Godzilla. But why, in universe, were they like, we'll make a Godzilla?
That would have come if they built it around the skeleton of a Godzilla. That would have explained it. One thing, I am pretty disappointed about this movie. There was no Mecha Kong. I was hoping for, like, because I knew they were going to do the team up to fight a bigger thing.
Always.
And I was pretty sure it was going to be Mecha Godzilla. But I was hoping for the big, because I was hoping they were just going to trounce the shit out of Mecha Godzilla and, like, there is another. And then fucking Mecha Kong comes out. And maybe Mecha Kong's thing is, like, he's real durable. So, like, that axe doesn't work on him, but maybe, like, the atomic breath did, so they're like, oh, switch dance partners. And, like, King Kong goes and fights Mechagodzilla, and Godzilla's fighting Mecha Kong, and then they bro fist and have a happily ever after.
So much. At the end of this movie, when you see them both staring each other down, I thought they were going to go in for a weird little handshake.
One thing I like about that bit is you could really see it in Kong's eyes.
Yeah, he's
when
like, please don't.
When fucking Godzilla comes roaring at him, he's like, please, God, don't. I'm so tired.
Yeah, like, he gets up like, oh, I can do this all day. But he's got a look on his face that's just like, please, I'm tired.
That's one thing I really like about all these monsters. They're very emotive.
Well, yeah.
Like, you could, like, in this one, you see Godzilla get hit by Mechagodzilla's laser, and he raises his hand and you could see him going, fuck! Yeah,
he genuinely, after he gets, like, his chest burned, he's on the ground like, ah, God!
Or, like, Godzilla, or King Kong, when he does, like, the whole put his dukes up, he's like, I got this. Or, like, in King of the Monsters, fucking Rodan does that. The camera does that weird office gym zoom in on his face. Like, he's like, fuck off!
I like that Rodan had a goofy head.
Yeah!
It was two normal heads. The middle one was the leader.
Oh, Ghidorah. That was Ghidorah. He had a bit of a goofy head. Yeah.
Which I think they do imply that the head that is controlling Mechagodzilla was the goofy head.
What? Did it? Because one of them got slight. He loses his head twice in that.
Yes. But one time it grows back.
Yeah, one time it gets sliced off or whatever and then grows back.
I know.
The other time Godzilla eats it. Because they do the fake out, like, oh, he's still around. It's still alive. Yeah. It's still moving its head. It's conscious of being eaten. Where it's like, fuck you, Ghidorah. You deserve that.
But yeah, I do believe there's a few things that imply that the head that is controlling Mechagodzilla is the goofy head, which is rules, because that means the goofy head was like, nah, fuck this. I'm tired of this.
That I do like that. That's pretty good. But they did have two heads.
Yes.
Because they were like, oh, they could telepathically communicate with each other, which I didn't think of it as telepathic. Like, I thought they just shared the same body, so, like, the, like, brain.
Yeah, there's a throwaway line where it's like, their necks are so long, the only way for them to communicate is telepathically. But, like, one of the heads had to be controlling the body.
Yeah, it was, I think it was the middle
head. The middle one controlled, like, all of it.
Yeah.
But, like, it didn't seem... Clearly it can work, isn't it working?
One thing about the goofy head that I liked heaps was it doing... There's one bit in King of the Monsters where it's off doing its own thing, and the fucking metal head's like, fuck you, into business, grabs its horn thing and whips it over, and it's like, we're busy here, fucker.
That's also the first time... Not that moment, but that's also how he loses it the first time, too. The dominant head eats... the goofy head, and then it grows back, and he's like, why'd you do that? I don't know. I liked this movie quite a bit. It was fun.
It was very fun. It has the same problem that all of these movies had, where you're kind of watching it, and the human bits are going on.
Yeah.
You're like, come on, get on with it. But when it got to the fucking monster fights, you were like, fuck yes, I'm here for fucking King Kong doing all his little parkour.
I'm so surprised that Eleven... from Stranger Things. She's in this movie. Millie Bobby Brown has an explicit connection with King Kong. And she's got the...
Godzilla.
Yes, Godzilla. Thank you. got the connection with him and has the box that literally calls him. And then there, King Kong has a little girl who he likes, trusts, and can communicate with him. And I'm so surprised the two little girls never interacted at all.
Yeah, no. But, like, you kind of think they'd at least, like, argue or whatever. Or talk.
I mean, I get it, or at least...
Yeah, I get not having them fight, because one was like had... a 9-year-old,
and the other and one was like
a teenager, like a late teen girl.
With
a
Billy Bobby Brown.
Yeah, she would have kicked that little girl's fucking ass.
I mean, you would have felt more appropriate because Godzilla shoots lasers, and King Kong's just a clever ape, but... I don't know. That little girl could have been wily.
That little girl could have had her own axe.
In my head, it was just a knife.
Oh, that's pretty good. And then Millie Bobby Brown has a gun. Yeah,
like a laser.
That's the human equivalent.
The knife can't absorb bullet. Like, axe can absorb.
If a movie was like, oh, like if Captain America had a knife and someone shot he deflected it.
Oh, I was thinking, the katana or sword cut a bullet in half.
Yeah, but I always feel like a knife, it's usually not,
it's
too thick.
Yeah, well, I thought it was too small because you're just going to get
two bullets shot in the chest. Yeah, because a lot of katanas have that bit of an angle to it where it's, well, I guess that's your
no,
most
knife.
No,
that blade has an angle to them. But I just think because katana's bigger, so when it slices through, the bullets have to separate. It's actually the opposite. Because it's thicker, they have to separate around the blade and go around you.
Mm-hmm.
But with a knife, it's pretty thin, so you just kind of shoot yourself in the chest with two smaller bullets. okay, we've talked a lot about Godzilla films. Did you see, you probably have. Do you remember much of the Peter Jackson King Kong film?
Yeah, I remember a good bit of it. The most memorable bits were, for one, him pulling the T-Rex tongue out.
I love that.
That's such cool.
Where he breaks its jaw.
There is something... I really like Skull Island in these movies, in the legendary movies. They're really interesting and got a lot of cool world building. But there's something really charming about just dinosaurs on this island.
About just regular dinosaurs and giant bugs that, like, the bamboo spider was cool, but it wasn't like a real bug.
Yeah, it wasn't like Jurassic bugs where they're kind of like dog-sized-ish bugs.
You see in the Peter Jackson movie, they get attacked by like giant bugs, and it's genuinely pretty horrifying.
Yeah, no, the centipede in that scene
it's
when I was a kid.
Like, really okay, it will mess you up.
And then there's the classic, he's on the building...
Which,
I think it was the Empire State.
It was the Empire State Building.
Yeah, with the planes flying around it and everything.
Which I thought was rad. I like, in that one, he's very much an ape.
Yes, but, correct me if I'm wrong, does he fall in love with the girl in that movie?
He's very much obsessed with that girl, but I don't think he genuinely loves her.
Lady, listen to my words very carefully.
Do not sleep with that
ape. Do not sleep with that giant ape.
Now, maybe this is... He's not technically an actual gorilla. Well, in that movie, he kind of is just a big gorilla.
Yeah.
But gorillas, just biologically, have about a 2-inch penis. So on his scale, that's still quite large, ma'am. Please do not... the ape.
Look, that's a... I think that's like the size of a horse. Like a full-ass horse. I don't know why that... Not a horse, Don.
No, a horse.
An actual horse.
Looks probably bigger.
Probably? No, he's not that big.
He's not that big in that movie.
I think he's like 40 feet.
Yeah, he's like several stories tall.
Yeah, he's not huge.
Not like he is in this movie.
No, which even in the last movie, Kong Skull Island, I was like, that's a big fucking ape.
Yeah.
Because he was about 100 feet in that one.
Even as a teenager in the legendary films, he's bigger than Peter Jackson's, I think.
Yes. Yeah. I think Peter Jackson's was about half the size of Skull Island.
And then
like, a quarter of the size. Because he got, like, three times bigger.
He
got, like, between 100 to 300.
Because they're comparable in size in this film.
Mm-hmm.
In Godzilla versus King Kong. I think it's just Kong. I don't think he ever gets to be King Kong.
No, which there's a bit where he sits on a throne in this
which
movie. And I'm like, oh, this is the bit someone's going to be like, he's a king. And then like, oh, it's King Kong.
But no, he's just Kong.
And they never do the bit where it's, because he's not King Kong, and never do the bit, what is a king to a god? Which I would have enjoyed.
I thought there could have been a scene where he beats Godzilla, and then they're like, oh, he's the king of the monsters, the King Kong. But he never does that. Cause
Godzilla wins.
Yeah.
Rarely in a versus movie with two heroes versus. There is a winner in this, and it is Godzilla.
No, I've never seen Freddy versus Jason. Is there a winner in that?
I have seen Freddy versus Jason. It was ages ago. I don't think there was.
That makes sense. Usually there's not.
But yeah.
That only brought up to me because I was thinking, how many versus movies are there?
There's Freddy versus Jason. There's their original Kong versus Godzilla, which in that one, no one really won. But King Kong's the only one you see, like, swim away.
So it implies he wins.
Kind of implies. But they kind of just tumbled down a hill.
There's Batman versus Superman.
Batman versus Superman.
There's this movie.
This movie.
I can't think of Ford v. Ferrari.
Predator versus
Alien.
But yeah, for the most part, none of them really ever have a clear cut. This person wins.
Yeah.
I guess it's for like, you kind of
Especially when it's two different franchises, because that's usually what this is.
Yeah, you don't want to be like, oh, you're wrong for liking this franchise over this.
And nerds are big on, oh, well, he beat him, so he's better.
Yeah.
Which, I get it, but like, shut up.
Nerd. Oh, yeah.
And look, if that's you, I'm sorry I said to shut up. But look, maybe don't say that kind of stuff. It's annoying.
Look, Superman would beat Batman.
Yeah.
I don't think that makes Superman better than Batman.
I like Superman quite a bit, and if I had to pick a comic to read, especially nowadays, I'd probably pick a Superman one.
Yeah, but nowadays.
Even if Batman, because a lot of the people assume Batman wins those kind of fights, and I'd still read a Superman comic.
Yeah, I think I would read a Batman comic.
Which is fair.
It just depends on the comic
and the writer.
I would definitely watch a Batman movie over a Superman movie.
Movie. I'd watch Christopher Reeve's Superman before I'd watch like The Dark Knight Rises. I get bored.
That's fair.
Movie.
I don't like
that. I just think it depends on which Rises movie you're going for.
I'd rather watch Michael Keaton Batman than Christopher Reeve Superman. And I think those are the most comparable to each other in quality.
Christopher Reeves is a lot closer to how Superman actually is.
That's fair.
Michael Keaton ruled. I love that
Michael
movie.
Michael Keaton Batman.
But he's barely Batman.
He's pretty Batman. He is chill on the murder side of things.
And
but
he doesn't really ever do any real detective work.
Yeah, that's fair. Which, like, doesn't happen much in Batman stuff anymore too much. Like, they like to call him the world's greatest detective.
Even that, they don't really do that much.
But they don't even...
In the movies, I mean. They rarely call him the world's greatest detective.
No, and like, even in the games, they rarely show
detective. That's because it's hard to do detective work in a video game.
And especially nowadays, all detective work is done by the tech he has and everything.
Yeah, which is a bit of a cop-out, but whatever. Yeah. I get it.
But... Anyways, King Kong versus Godzilla.
Now, we didn't get to it before because we talked about your favorite. My personal favorite is King Kong.
That's fair.
I've always been more of a Kong head.
Well, yeah, you're a little ape boy.
I am.
I
resemble an ape. I love apes. Apes rule. Apes in general are pretty sick, but King Kong in particular has always been cool to me, especially since I really like, what is it, the 1930s. Claymation. I'm not huge on claymation usually.
Yeah.
But the way he moves in that one, they do a very good job of putting a lot of emotion and character in just his movements, which is hard, not only in claymation, but like, you don't get a whole lot of that even from people in movies in the 30s.
And I do really think there's a lot more charm to claymation than there is guy in rubber suits.
Yes.
So I think those movies are more, the Kong is, it's more interesting to go back and look at, well, this was the time of the King Kong than it is for Godzilla, which is just a bunch of guys. I love seeing these guys wrestle
and
throw foam boulders and shit at each other.
Before we move off of the 1930s King Kong, I remember a story I heard or maybe read about that where... Originally, the guy who was making King Kong, the movie, wanted to just be a regular ape who went into a town and grabbed the woman. But they couldn't get an actual ape and an actual Komodo dragon to fight. So that wasn't allowed. It was illegal.
Yeah.
He was like, well, damn it. We'll get an actual ape, and then we'll claymation, like a dinosaur, for him to fight. And so he went to the guy to see him, like, demonstrate, like, dinosaur claymation. He's like, well, that rules. We'll just do the whole movie in
claymation. Yeah, that's pretty good.
And then he's like, well, no one's going to believe an actual dinosaur fighting a regular ape. He's like, then just make the ape big, idiot. And that's how King Kong became massive.
That's pretty good. There's a similar story to how King Kong versus Godzilla happened, which I really love, was over here in the West, they were going to do King Kong versus Frankenstein.
Which is so much funnier.
Which is really funny to me. Or, no, I think it was Godzilla versus Frankenstein.
Right.
Yeah. And they were going to do that over there. I'm mixing up the story. Yes. Whatever. The idea was, one guy heard that.
It was originally going to be pitched as Godzilla versus Frankenstein.
Yeah. One guy heard that, rushed his ass over to fucking the Godzilla people, and were like, let's do this movie. Like, we can't do Frankenstein. And they're like, we have King Kong. Let's do Big Ape versus Godzilla.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but that was late enough in the development period that's why King Kong has his lightning abilities. Because it was originally going to be Frankenstein.
Yeah. Is that the only time he's got lightning
that's
abilities?
That's the biggest time.
Yeah, that's the biggest time where he gets the power up by lightning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I still love that it happens in this movie.
It's pretty good.
They shock his heart back open and he gets to keep moving. It rules.
Yeah, no, this movie was a very enjoyable time. It was a bit of a goofy movie. If you're going looking for
If you're going for a critically acclaimed film, if you're looking for an Oscar in this movie, you're going to be disappointed.
You're going to be really disappointed.
But if you go into it like, this is my action figure smashing into each other for a good while,
you're going to have a good time. And I think that's all the time we have today.
Yeah, I think that just about covers them. I think that does us.
That does us. A couple of things. We are on most podcasts, listening devices and whatnot. We're on iTunes. We'd really appreciate...
if you could give us a review, that
would
be
If you could
nice.
Go onto iTunes and give us a review.
Look, it doesn't even have to be a great one. If you want to go on there and be like, 2 stars, these guys are annoying. Look, I'm not going to say it's not going to hurt my feelings.
If you want to be really rude to one of us, I expect me, and really nice to the other, we'll take that.
Look, I would love that.
Another thing is, we recorded most of our episodes before we got a chance to do this, but we want to thank Weston.
Yeah, my good friend Weston. He goes by West Easy on SoundCloud and YouTube. And he does our theme music for the show.
And we'd really appreciate if you guys checked him out.
Yeah, just look up West Easy. He's on Twitter as West Easy. That's West, W-E-S-T, hyphen E-Z.
And if you do go over there, let him know who sent you.
Yeah, and while you're there, we're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter at...
Atomic Androids. That's with an S.
Yeah, we had to throw the S in on there. And we're on Instagram at
Atomic Android 2020, because we didn't think a year would change.
Yeah, no, well, 2020's been a big part of my
personal brand
for a while, and then when I made that, I couldn't get Atomic Android, so I just kind of chucked it on there. Now we're kind of stuck with it, and I'm fine
a problem with it. But yeah, if you want to follow us on there, you'll get updates on when episodes come out.
Yes. And one more thing, we do have an email.
If anybody feels like feedback, advice, questions,
we'd love advice, criticism, ideas for episodes.
If you want to just go on there and say that I sound like a big fat loser, I'll read it.
Don't do that. That will hurt my feelings if you say Adam sounds like a big fat loser. But that's at theatomicemail@gmail.com.
Yeah, no at. I don't know why he said at.
Oh, yeah, no ad. The ad's later on. It's theatomicemail@gmail.com.
Yes.
And if we do more of these sort of wrap-ups at the end, we'll get much better at them, I promise.
Don't count on it.
Don't count on it.
Bye. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.